themighty1090.com. Well, obviously the biggest story in San Diego this morning, the Citizens Stadium Advisory Group held the press conference right out in front of Qualcomm Stadium at 11:05. They had four speakers, Adam Day, the chairman of CSAG, Rob Hutzel, the executive director of the San Diego River Foundation, Sean Merriman, the former Chargers All-Pro linebacker, and Rafael Alvarez from Bolt Pride, a season ticket holder since 1992. Like we heard yesterday, the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group officially made the recommendation to Mayor Faulkner that the Mission Valley site is a potential site for a new stadium. And it, quite frankly, it comes down, it's an easy choice for the multi-purpose stadium for a variety of reasons, namely money. They're saying if they're going to build there, it would save somewhere between $250 million, because if you go downtown, you got to buy the property. It's going to take more time. It's going to be much more expensive. It's going to be more complicated because you're going to have to relocate the MTS bus yard. And the people at the MTS bus yard are saying it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 7 years, and it would be a cost of about $150 million. Now, the Mission Valley site would probably save somewhere in the neighborhood about $250 million. That's what they're saying right now, their estimate from their reports. The 166 acres already is owned by the city. They could create and develop new tax revenues, residential, commercial, and retail property, restore and beautify the San Diego riverbed. I think all that sounds good, but how are they going to do it? How are they going to do it? Now, you've heard me for many years. I always thought the Qualcomm site was, without a doubt, the best site. But a lot of people, and there's an argument for downtown. There's no question about that. A new state-of-the-art stadium, working with a convention center, that made a lot of sense as well. But at the end of the day, where the city is financially, and again, we still don't have a financial game plan on how this proposed stadium would be built. But the bottom line, they already own the land. And they're going to be able to move rather quickly. And now they're saying they want to get this thing all buttoned up in the middle of May. They want to come up with a financial plan that will work. The big question, everybody was saying yesterday, well, the Chargers, they're not going to be happy. They wanted to go downtown. Well, just a couple of days ago, I think it was on Monday, Dan Cilio had Mark Fabiani on. And Mark Fabiani said that the Chargers would be happy with either of the sites. They just want to get a brand-new stadium, and I think that's where it's at right now. It's the Chargers want a brand-new stadium. Hey, the Chargers are still making money here in San Diego. It's not like they're on food stamps trying to run an NFL football team. They're still making a ton of money. Last I heard, they made about $27 million a year ago, and that was after all the bills were paid. So they're making money, but they want to make even more. And I want to get your opinion this afternoon. I know there was a contingent of people that really wanted to see this go downtown. But right now, where it stands right now, this is the furthest we have come in over 13 and a half years talking about a proposed new stadium. The press conference was short and very direct and very sweet today. Now we got to figure out how they're going to come up with a financial game plan. Now, it'll be interesting to hear what Nathan Fenno has to say coming up here at the bottom of the hour, because today up in Carson, it was the start of going out and getting 8,041 signatures on a petition to where they can get it to the city council and hopefully bypass a vote to where they can get moving on that site. But see, I think the Carson thing is a pipe dream. I don't think it will ever happen. Inglewood is real because Stan Kroenke owns the land, he owns a pro football team, and he can finance it by himself. That's the one that I think will come down. And I had Scott Bear on last night, who's a Raider insider for Comcast Sports Network, and he said that the Raiders, if things didn't go well in Carson, that the Raiders wouldn't mind coming down and being the second 10 in Inglewood if that stadium does get built and the Rams come west once again. So I want to get your opinion on that, because that's a hot-button topic here. Everyone's got an opinion, and I think it's great. I think it's great that they picked a site today, but now, let's face it, you got to figure out how you're going to finance it. The other thing that came out of the meeting today was that Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, is going to be coming to San Diego sometime in April. And we're going to try to get a little more definite date from Adam Day coming up at 4 o'clock today because you got to figure out exactly how much money the NFL is willing to throw in. I mean, are the Chargers still willing to throw in $200 million? Do they want to raise the ante? What's the NFL willing to throw in? We've heard the number $200 million from them as well. So we got a lot of questions to be asked and answered, not only today, but in the ongoing days, weeks, and months. So we'll see where that goes. I want to get to basketball here real quick because the Aztecs are going to go onto the court tonight at 24-7. They're taking on UNLV. The Running Rebs yesterday defeated Nevada 67-46. The Aztecs have been interesting against UNLV this year. They're 2-0. But they've not been easy basketball games. You go back to January 17th at Viejas, the Aztecs had to rally from a 24-17 halftime hole. They came back and won that 53-47. And then just on March 4th over at Thomas and Mack, once again, they trailed 31-28 at halftime. And when you take a look at that game, and I watched the entire ball game that night, UNLV had 7 scholarship players, and they played their tail off that night. And they gave the Aztecs all they can handle. The Aztecs came back late and hung on for a 60-58 victory. But UNLV's playing very well right now. This is not an easy game for the Aztecs. Earlier today, quarterfinal action, Boise State got by Air Force 80-68 in progress right now. This should be a pretty good one. Utah State going against Wyoming. Wyoming probably, with their weak non-conference schedule, probably has to win the Mountain West Conference tournament to get that automatic berth. And Utah State playing with a heavy heart. Their head coach, Stu Morrill, you either win it and move on or get eliminated. That will be the final game of Stu Morrill's outstanding college basketball coaching career. And after the Aztec game tonight, got a good matchup, Fresno State taking on Colorado State. So we got a lot of college basketball. The Padres play tonight over in Peoria against the L.A. Dodgers. Actor Will Ferrell going to play one inning for the Padres tonight. Don't know exactly where Will Ferrell is going to play, but Ferrell going around right now and really doing a cool thing. He's raising money for Cancer for College to help cancer patients go to college. He's going around to 5 different spring training sites today, playing for 10 different ball clubs, and who knows, maybe he'll pitch for the Padres tonight, but we'll look forward to that. Padres playing some really good baseball right now. Couple of off-field notes today. Tim Fedorovich undergoing surgery today here in San Diego for a torn meniscus in his right knee, and third base coach Glenn Hoffman, loose cartilage in his left knee. He also going under the knife today, and first base coach Jose Valentin will move over to third until Hoffman is ready to go. So we got a lot to cover. We got more NFL news. DeMarco Murray going to sign a long-term deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get into that a little bit later on with Clark Judge when he joins us at 5 o'clock. Again, I'm at the San Diego Hall of Champions. Our number in San Diego, 858-457-1090. Our toll-free number, 877-792-1090. Coach John Quintero going to 5:30 in the Aztec Basketball Pregame Show right here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
We're San Diego's home team.
You got to deal with goofball.
Dan Cilio.
I'm bigger than this.
Jim Rome.
Just me even presiding over this is making me dumber.
Darren Smith.
So who are these people? What happened to my team?
Scott and BR.
Ooh, I'm great. Wow. I'm awesome.
Hall of Fame.
Wow.
The coach, John Cantara.
That is the biggest Crocker crap.
We're San Diego's sports leader.
This is getting more ridiculous by the very second, honestly.
The Mighty.
Why do they think we're tools?
1090.
Mighty 1090 time, 3:17. Coach John Quintero with you today to 5:30. Looking forward to a little basketball tonight here on the Mighty 1090. Ted Leitner will have the call at 6 o'clock. We're going to get right out to phones. Everyone's got an opinion on this stadium issue. Some people want to see a downtown stadium. Some want to see a stadium in Mission Valley. Some people want to refurbish Qualcomm Stadium. Love to get everyone's opinion on what was announced earlier today by the Citizens Stadium Advisory Group that Mission Valley is the proposed site. Now they've got until about May 18th to May 20th to come up with a viable financial plan. San Diego, 858-457-1090. Toll-free number, 877-792-1090. We start off in Escondido this afternoon. Richard, you're batting leadoff with Coach John Quintero. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, Coach, you know, I want to get into where the Chargers are at with this offense. The guy from that just signed with the Bears. He was good.
And Eddie Royal.
Better, and he's motivated, and he's a comer. Now we lost Ryan Matthews. Who are we going to throw to? Who's going to be the emotional leader out there? It's not just Rivers. What are we going to do? Get high schoolers out there? You tell me who's out there that we can get.
Well, they've missed out on Andre Johnson, and even sound like Andre Johnson turned down more money to play for the Chargers to go with the Colts. Eddie Royal did a great job. I mean, there's no doubt Eddie Royal was kind of a security blanket the last couple of years for Phillip Rivers. They've got to find a way to replace him. I don't think Jacoby Jones is the type of guy like Eddie Royal. I think Jacoby Jones is more of a downfield threat, even at 30 years of age. I also think that the Chargers still need, I think, legitimate downfield the threat. I mean, Malcolm Floyd's getting a little bit long in the tooth. Jacoby Jones coming off a year where he only caught 9 passes for 131 yards. I think Jones helps the Charger team more as a kick and punt return man than he does as a receiver. I think he'll factor in as probably the 4th or 5th receiver. But losing Eddie Royal hurt. And I'm going to tell you, the other reason I thought it hurt was, number one, it was like he picked the Chicago Bears because John Fox had coached him 1 year, Adam Gase had been there for a year, and Jay Cutler he had played with. I mean, you got to get Phillip Rivers some weapons, and right now Phillip Rivers doesn't have the weapons he needs in the backfield or at the wide receiver spot.
Dontrell Inman's going to be good, but I'd like to look at Crabtree. What do you think?
I don't know. I'd have to do my due diligence on Crabtree. He's had a couple of pretty good years up there with the 49ers, but he's been hurt a lot, and I just don't know where he's at right now in his career. I think I'd have to really do a lot of scouting and evaluating before I'd pull the trigger on him.
Yeah, we got too many needs now, Coach. And this downtown, we blew it. That's a beautiful thing they developed downtown, looking at that thing the other day in AC's article. And now we're going to stay in Mission Valley. You can do a barbecue down in downtown. You just have to maybe put it up a little higher, you know?
Well, look at it this way, and there's no doubt. I mean, the renderings that we saw, I think it was yesterday, in the paper, fantastic. No question about it. Now let's see a rendering of what the proposed stadium at Qualcomm site is going to look like. Who knows?
All
maybe
right,
it'll
I'll,
be
I'll,
even
I'll wait.
Better looking.
I'll wait.
Huh?
I'll wait on it. Thank you.
All right, Richard, thank you very much for the phone call. There's a guy that's not real happy about the decision this afternoon by the Citizens Stadium Advisory Group. Let's get out to Tom in San Diego. He always has an opinion. Tom, welcome to the Mighty 1090. What's going on today?
Hey, Coach. Well, first of all, let me say I think you had I didn't catch your program later last night. You had an insider on from the Raiders. I totally agree. They could. Kroenke's going to go to L.A., okay, I think. He can move on his own. The NFL can't prevent it. There's precedent. He's got the money. He's got the site. He's way ahead. And I wouldn't be at all surprised that if something happens in Carson or even the Raiders look down and go, hey, maybe I would rather be part of a stadium that's already been built and take all this risk. Also, I think that the Inglewood is a better site just for its location in terms of proximity to downtown L.A., whatever. I mean, I guess you could argue that both ways. But they also have other improvements that have already been built there. So, in my opinion, I think the Inglewood site is going to go, and who knows if you were the Chargers, whether or not you could depend on the Raiders.
Well, I don't think we ever want to depend on the Raiders. And yeah. Obviously, Mark Davis doesn't have that kind of coin to where he can go out and do whatever he wants. And they've got that lease through next January 2016 with the ODOT Co. Coliseum. But, you know, I look at the Carson thing. I just don't see that happening. And what's going to be fun is we got Nathan Fenno coming on, who's been on this story for the LA Times and done an outstanding job. I mean, the guy that's really been very diligent. And we'll talk a little bit about the AEG abandoned Farmers Field earlier this week. But, you know, I look at Carson. I just don't see it happening. They're going to go out and get their 8,041 registered voters to sign a petition. But you know what? Unless things really go awry here in San Diego, they're going to be just like Ed Roskey out in the city of industry. They're going to be holding a shovel in their hand, but they're not going to turn a speck of dirt.
Well, I don't know. You could be right. But, you know, they're going to get the – actually, I think they said they're going to try to get 12,000 signatures so the ones that are no good shake out and they still are covered. But
well, they have to be legitimate registered voters. They got to get 8,041. They can go get 12,000. Doesn't matter. They got to all be registered voters, 8,041 of them.
Amen. That's what I'm saying. They're planning to get even more so that they figure some of them will not be authenticated. But in any event, I do not look at it as a totally shallow threat. I think they're looking at it, and I think they have it as a fallback position. But I agree with you. You know, I'm kind of the voice of the wilderness saying, look at refurbishment of Qualcomm, which can be done. I've talked to a friend of mine who said, hey, even the seismic retrogrades can be done for $500 million. And if they do that, what they really need at Qualcomm for the owners are more suites and more club seats.
Correct.
Because that's where they get the income. The Chargers make $40 million a year now. They put $40 million in their pockets, okay? And they have enough money to pay the up to the salary cap. So they're not chintzing on players. I don't think anybody would ever say they are.
I've always thought the Chargers, Tom, you know, they spent their money. I mean, they've always, I thought, spent their money and gone after players. I mean, they haven't gone after the big-name free agent guy. Some of the free agents have gone to over the years haven't been very good. They've come in here and kind of been on their last legs. But I've never thought the Chargers went cheap on their payroll. I mean, there's been times in Charger history where they were one of the top paying ball clubs in the entire National Football League. And I would certainly think that that may be the case down the road, maybe not this year, but in coming years, if they got a new stadium, they'd even spend a little bit closer to the salary cap. Hey, Tom, thanks for the phone call. Always appreciate your opinion. You know, the one thing that I read last week, and we really had some good information that we've been given regarding Qualcomm Stadium and how badly the city is, not paid attention to keeping just regular maintenance. And it's been pretty well documented that there's about $80 million that needs to be put into Qualcomm just to kind of bring it up to snuff right now. That is not good. And I realize the pension problems and the different mayors and the different city council people, but, man, that's when you got that many people going out to an event each and every year with football and whatever else they bring into Qualcomm, and you need about $80 million in repairs to get that thing up to snuff. That's not real cool. Let's get to the bottom of the hour. We're going to get you an update. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Nathan Fenno, writer for the LA Times, who's been on the Inglewood and Carson proposed stadium projects. He'll join me next right here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
This is the home of the Padres.
That ball's going toward the Western Meadows, upper regions of the suites. It is long gone. Did you see the bat speed? Reimer Liriano is scary, Thomas.
San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
Roll on a Thursday afternoon. Hope everyone having a great day out there. We're in the process of contacting Nathan Fenno, writer from the LA Times, who's been covering the Inglewood Carson proposed stadiums. And just to try to kind of backtrack here a little bit, the city council up there in Inglewood approved a $2 billion plan to Stan Kroenke, the St. Louis Rams, a privately funded 80,000-seat stadium. Across from the old forum, 60 acres for the stadium. And they made that statement, they felt the supporters said it would really create about 10,000 jobs, tens of millions of dollars, and new tax revenue. And then in Carson, about the Chargers Raiders proposed stadium, they announced they were working on a $1.7 billion stadium on 160 acres in Carson. But we know the Raiders do not have the capital to build a new stadium in Oakland without the dependency of taxpayers. That's not going to happen. Like, I don't think it's going to happen here in San Diego. If they had to go to a vote, which I think everyone involved is trying to keep it from going to, not taxpayers aren't going to pay for it. But the Chargers, without a doubt, are more flexible in their finances in the Oakland Raiders. So we'll catch up with Nathan Fenno here momentarily and kind of find out exactly where it's at right now. We're going to head out right now. We've tracked him down. Writer for the LA Times, doing a great job of keeping everyone updated on the Englewood Carson proposed stadium. Joins me on the Corky's Hotline. Nathan, welcome. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, John.
Great having you on. Can you give us the latest right now on Carson? I know they're out knocking on doors trying to get a petition signed today.
Yeah, today they've started gathering signatures for their ballot initiative. They need 8,041 of them to be exact. And they hope to have that taken care of, by mid-April. And then if all goes according to plan, they'll be on the same footing as the plan up in Inglewood. And then the real competition, at least in L.A., will begin.
How did this originally get started? Who made what phone call to get this thing going to begin with? The Chargers?
You know, the Chargers have been the ones driving the bus on this plan in Carson. We had a story last week just detailing a little bit of the timeline as to what happened. Last summer, some Chargers representatives started inquiring about the former landfill in Carson, and by late January of this year, they had a binding agreement to buy the about 168 acres, and the sale of that land is actually going to close on March 31st. So it happened pretty quickly.
You have any idea how much they paid for it?
That's a great question, and as soon as I know, the world will know, but not something we know yet.
Why do you think the Raiders got involved with the Chargers on this?
You know, the Raiders, I mean, it's no secret, have been looking for other options for many, many years. I mean, even going back to when they, back to 95, you know, they vacillated between staying in L.A. and going up to Oakland. They've been in discussions with Hollywood Park, even back in 2013, about potentially moving there. They've been looking for a long, long time and found an agreement they finally could attach themselves to.
We're visiting with Nathan Fenno, who covers this Englewood Carson proposed stadium for the LA Times. Has this been an easy story to cover, or has it gotten kind of twisted and going 38 different directions all the time?
You know, our NFL writer, Sam Farmer, who's been here a lot longer than I have, has seen way more of these twists and turns. But it's kind of a roller coaster ride because, you know, with the NFL to L.A. stuff, you just never know what's going to happen. There's always a new twist, always a new turn. And really anybody who says they know exactly how this is going to turn out, they don't know what they're saying because nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows exactly how this is going to shake out.
Nathan, a few weeks back when they held that press conference there in Carson, I had to chuckle a little bit from what I saw on TV and, you know, on the internet. High preponderance of the fans that came out that day were wearing Raider gear. I mean, you were there. What was it like? Did it seem more like a Raider homecoming than a Charger announcement?
Oh, actually, another one of our reporters was there. I didn't have the honor of going down to Carson that day. But from what he told me and what we wrote about it, it actually had a kind of a pep rally feel to it. A lot of local politicians getting the crowd fired up, a lot of unions who are backing the project there with a lot of supporters in tow. A lot of enthusiasm, not a lot of specifics, though. And I think that it was an interesting way to kick off this process.
I thought it was interesting when you guys ran your poll on the LA Times website. The Chargers finished a distant third. It was the Rams, Raiders, and way back there, the Chargers.
Yeah, and you know, there's definitely a very active group of folks in the LA area who are interested in bringing back the Rams, and there definitely is a connection there. But I think all told, I mean, over the last 20 years, there've been so many failed attempts to return the league to Los Angeles that people are very wary up here. You know, until somebody actually has a stadium in the ground and a team trotting out there to start a game, people are going to be pretty skeptical about any of these plans.
Nathan Fenno joining us on the Corky's Hotline here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090. Okay, they get the 8,041 official registered voter signatures. Take me through the next couple of steps.
Yeah, well, they're going to try to gather about 12,000 signatures to give themselves a little bit of a margin for error. That'll go to the L.A. County Register of Voters, who's going to double check all of them and make sure they're, you know, real voters and real folks who are registered in Carson and all that. And so, you know, a lot of steps to this, a lot of minutia. Anyway, then it'll be a process very similar to what happened up in Englewood, where the Carson City Council can either vote to approve it and move forward, or schedule a special election and see what the voters have to say about it. And so, no real indication as to which way they're going to go at this point in time. But again, the folks backing the stadium hope to have all this wrapped up by probably June. And, you know, then again, the real race will begin.
Okay, a couple of other questions on that. Okay, how are they going about getting these signatures? Sitting out in front of the market, banging on doors? How are they doing it?
You know, I'm not sure exactly, but, you know, we've all seen when we're headed to the supermarket or something like that, you know, you have somebody with a table set up and a couple inch stack thick of papers looking for signatures and that kind of thing. So, you know, all the teams involved with both the projects, they pay firms to go out and do this. And, you know, it's just how these things work. And there's a lot of smart people working on both of these projects to see through with their respective visions.
Now, are they trying to bypass the two-thirds of vote? What are they trying to do on that?
Well, one of the benefits of using the ballot initiative process is you are able to sidestep a very, very lengthy environmental review. And AEG, for instance, which had the Farmers Field plan downtown that they abandoned earlier this week, they went through the whole environmental review for it, and it cost them $27 million. So being able to dodge that saved a lot of time and a lot of money for both of these groups. So that's a pretty attractive thing in this process.
Jim Deere, the manager or the mayor there in Carson, is does he really believe that they're going to be able to get this thing done?
You know, I haven't talked to Jim personally, but, you know, everybody around that believes it's for real. But, again, you look back at the last 20 years around the Los Angeles areas, I mean, golly, there have been two other plans, at least that I'm aware of, just for that site in Carson alone that have come and gone, and obviously no stadium has been built. I actually drove by the site yesterday, and it's as empty, as desolate as and desolate as ever. You know, again, so people are skeptical, and they have good reason to be. They've heard these promises before. They've seen these glossy renderings before, and nothing's happened.
Nathan, let's jump over to Englewood. You know, it seems like Stan Kroenke right now has got the ball, and he's hanging on to it. He hadn't fumbled it yet. I mean, he's got the land, he's got the money, and he does own an NFL team. And from what we understand, I'm sure it's stuff that you've talked about and written, they're planning on putting a shovel in the dirt in December.
Yeah, you know, and that promise, to be fair, though, has been made by other folks interested in building stadiums here, and It hasn't come to be, but yeah, the Englewood folks say they're going to, team or no team, they're going to put a shovel in the ground come December. You know, that's a little hard to believe if they didn't have a commitment from a team then that they would go ahead with almost a $2 billion plan. But, you know, you got to take them at their word at this point in time.
Were you at all surprised that AEG came out publicly and said they're backing out of the proposed downtown Farmers Field?
Not particularly. I mean, there just wasn't a team available to attach itself to that project at this point in time. And, you know, they'd spent a lot of money and a lot of time and had a lot of smart people working on that project, and it just didn't come together. And, you know, they were definitely on the outside looking in, and, you know, it would have been a tough situation, particularly with the April 17th deadline they had to secure a team, an agreement they had with the city of Los Angeles. That just wasn't going to happen. So, no, it didn't surprise me.
Nathan Finnerow of the LA Times, our guest here on the Corky's Hotline on the Mighty 1090. Kind of putting a wrap on this one, Nathan. You know, you got Englewood, you got Carson. If Kroenke does indeed put a shovel in the ground and start building in December, the Carson people just kind of go back to hanging out in Carson and forget about this stadium?
You know, I don't know. That's a terrific question, and again, I don't have a good answer for you on that. You know, I was talking to a guy who's very plugged into this whole scene the other day, and he said we're in the second quarter. You know, everybody wants to say they know what's going to happen or this is about done. Not true. We're very early on in this race, and the most important party hasn't had to say, and that's the 32 NFL owners. And you know, once that whole process gets fired up, I think we'll have a much better idea of which of these sites is actually going to be a player to return the NFL to Los Angeles.
I'm sure you've been following what's going on here in San Diego, and especially today with the committee actually coming out with a proposed site for a proposed new stadium in San Diego. That's the furthest they've come in 13 and a half years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, this is one more chapter in the drama. And, you know, you have the folks in St. Louis making a pretty good effort to build a stadium to keep the Rams there as well. And there's a similar push in Oakland. So, again, we're in the second quarter of this thing. We're a long ways away from knowing how it's going to shake out for any of the cities involved and what this is going to look like even a year from now.
Hey, last question regarding those signatures. When do they have to have them in?
You know, I believe it's either 90 days or 180 days. You know, I don't have the documents in front of me, but they have a good chunk of time to collect them, and it really shouldn't be any problem if this is anything like the Inglewood process.
All right, great. Hey, Nathan, thanks so much, and keep up the great work.
No problem, John. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Nathan Fenno, L.A. Times a writer, joining us on the Corky's Hotline. Some interesting stuff there. Oh, we'll see where this goes. Boy, this can get exhausting, overwhelming, and a little bit complicated from time to time. But we appreciate Nathan's time this afternoon. I just don't see it happening in Carson. Just not buying that. No offense to Carson, but when the Chargers trained up there, wow, that was kind of rough. But I guess, hey, if they move to L.A., they're the L.A. Chargers again. That's the way they were in 1960 before they moved down to San Diego and played at Balboa Stadium and then on to Qualcomm Stadium in 1967. When we come back, more reaction from today's press conference out of Qualcomm Stadium. The site has been chosen for a proposed stadium. It is right there at Mission Valley. Give me your opinion. Again, I know there are a lot of people down there in downtown that aren't real happy, but a lot of people downtown really didn't want them. Some of the hoteliers and the people with the convention center, a lot of them they're playing their own little games. San Diego, 858-457-1090, our toll-free number, 877-792-1090. Thanks for joining me today, live from the San Diego Hall of Champions. This is San Diego sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
The Mighty 1090 Hotline is presented by Corky's.
Call 1-800-901-1102. Corky's.
Well, thanks for joining us today here on the Mighty 1090. Thanks again to Nathan Fenno, writer for the LA Times, who is covering this story in Carson and Inglewood, joining us on the Corky's Hotline. An update in the Mountain West Conference. Boise State's already won today. Right now, Wyoming and Utah State tied at 41-41 with 12:20 to go in the second half. Of course, I'll be with you until 5:30. We'll get you the Aztec basketball pregame show, and then at 6 o'clock tonight, it will be the Aztecs taking on UNLV, Dave Rice's ball club. They've won 18 games. They're playing pretty well. They're playing with a short bench. Only seven scholarship players right now. They may have to go to walk-ons, but they're very, very talented and a very, very dangerous team. The Aztecs know that. The Aztecs just got out of there on March 4th with a two-point victory, and that was after being down at halftime for the second time in two games against the Running Rebels. Let's get back to the phones. And a reminder, coming up at 4 o'clock today, we're going to have Adam Day, the chairman of the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group. And we'll look forward to visiting with Adam. Boy, he's had a very interesting day. Actually had a very interesting 6 weeks. Then at 5 o'clock, we're going to talk a little NFL with all this free agent movement. NFL writer Clark Judge is going to join us on the program. Back to the phones we had. Steve and Marietta, you're next up with Coach John Cantara on the Mighty 1090. How are you?
Hey, Coach. How are you, my man?
I'm doing well. I've just been following the stadium issue all day today. What do you think?
You know what, Coach? I got to be honest with you. It's been a joke for how many years? What, 14, 12, something like that? You know, and it's going to still stay that way until they actually put a shovel in the ground and start digging it, okay? I'm happy that they finally come up with a site, and at least now they can just focus all their attention on that site and trying to give the Chargers, a new home to play in, and hopefully, you know, everybody involved will be mutually happy. I think it's taken up a lot of airtime that it otherwise shouldn't have, Coach, to be honest with you.
Well, I understand, but, you know, I think we also have a responsibility as a radio station and a sports talk format. You know, we want to hear the fans. We want to hear their opinions. And let's face it, if an NFL team moves out of our city, that's not a good mark to have on your resume.
No, I understand, but it's just all the, you know, the posturing, the rhetoric, the this, the that. Oh, they're going to go to Carson and them and the Raiders are going to play in the same house. Yeah, right. I don't see that happening anytime in the next few millenniums. So, but, Coach, I want to tell you, I am so jazzed. I cannot wait for Padre baseball to start kicking off here. I cannot wait. I am just so excited about it.
I think we're all very excited. I think as excited we are, I think we're also a little apprehensive. We want to see exactly what this team is going to be all about, and I think we have our hopes that this team is really going to gel from day one. But normally when you bring in as many new players as the Padres are bringing in right now, it's going to take a little bit, and I'm glad they've got to 30 preseason games. But, you know, they got to get out of the gate and stay in the race the first 6 weeks. If they're in the race the first 6 weeks with the pitching staff and with the Thunder in the middle of that lineup, I think they can stay in the race the entire season. But it's going to take a little bit for some of these new guys to really understand, adjust to their roles, and for guys to get to know one another. And, again, knock on wood that this pitching staff stays relatively healthy.
Oh, I think Bud Black's going to steer him in the right direction. I heard him on one of the morning shows a couple weeks ago, and sounded just like a completely different person. He was just like completely optimistic and really happy to you know be in it and being a part of it and working on it. I'm just so happy for him, and I just can't wait for Padre baseball to come on in. I tried to get a ticket for opening day, but they're all sold out, so I'll grab a couple for games later on.
Hey, yeah, well, there are going to be some games that you're not going to want to miss in this baseball season. Hey, Steve, thanks for the phone call.
My pleasure, Coach. Have a good day.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, Steve talks about how he was on, Buddy was on one of the morning shows recently, and talking to him. He said he sounded really happy. Well, you know, first of all, when you're in spring training, you always think you're going to go 162-0. I mean, everybody's got, you know, high expectations, but Buddy now can go into a game with a loaded gun. He's not going in with a dart gun or a water pistol. He's going in with some real firepower with guys in the middle of that lineup. And believe me, guys in the middle of the lineup like Kemp and Upton, and hopefully Will Myers comes through and has the year that a lot of people are anticipating, that takes so much pressure off the other guys, the Alexi Amaristas, the Yonder Alonzos, you know, the Derek Norris, even though Norris is more of an offensive catcher than he is a defensive catcher. And really, you could say that about the pitching staff as well. When you've got a horse like James Shields, and that's exactly what he is at the top of the lineup of the pitching staff, that takes so much pressure off of Tyson Ross and a guy like Andrew Cashner, and even Ian Kennedy for that matter. Those guys, they can exhale a little bit, because a guy like Shields is going to go out there and he's going to be able to chew up innings, and he's going to be really able to set the tone. Like when they go up to Dodger Stadium for the opening day on that Monday, I got to tell you, he's going against Kershaw, and Kershaw doesn't lose many games. Padres have had relatively good luck against Kershaw in his career, but you go up there with Kershaw, a lot of teams say, yeah, well, you know, we're 0-1, we'll get the next 2 days. Hey, the Padres legitimately go into that game on opening day with a big-time pitcher who pitched in the World Series last year, and he can beat the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I'll tell you, the Dodgers, everybody hypes them up, but they've got some issues up there as well. And we'll see how it all factors in. I think the back end of their rotation is a little bit iffy. And I think that bullpen, until Kenley Jansen comes back, is more than a little iffy. We're going to get to the top of the hour. We'll get you a Linda Welby update. When we come back to kick off hour number two, Adam Dade, the chairman of the Citizens Stadium Advisory Group, going to join us. Stay with us. We're taking you to 5:30 in Aztec basketball tonight over in the Mountain West Conference Tournament against UNLV. This is San Diego sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Aztecs basketball on the Mighty 1090.
Slam dunk by Malik. How did he do that?
The Aztecs tip off the Mountain West.